Blog Talk Radio.
You are my child. Thank you. Oh, Well, On yesterday, today we are here, and glory to God, we are not leaving. We are going to be doing what thus says the Lord on today. We thank the Lord and praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify your name. Because you alone are God, all by yourself, Lord. We thank you for being our Savior, being our Redeemer, being our Keeper. Oh God, the one who keeps us, who protects us, who shields us, oh God. Mighty God, we recognize that we cannot do anything on our own, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, the one who died for us. And Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for keeping us through the night and bringing us into this day, this precious, marvelous day that we have never seen before. We ask your forgiveness. We ask your mercy and we ask your grace, Lord. We thank you for forgiving us all of our debts as we forgive our debtors, O God. Those who forget, who trespass against us, Lord, we forgive them. Lord, we come with a heart of repentance this morning. We ask, Lord God, that you accept us just as we are, O God. O God, guilty of all sin, O God. And Lord, we ask, O God, clean our thoughts, clean our hearts, clean our mind, like David. Lord, we ask you, Father God, that you would create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Father, we ask, God, that you would order our steps in your word, that you would allow your word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, O God, that you would surround us with the heavenly host, O God, that we might recognize, O God, that it's only you that is leading and guiding us. It's only you that's keeping us in the midst of the storms. Only you that's keeping us in the midst of this burning fire. This burning furnace, O God, that's in this world, O God. Mighty God, you're protecting us from the evil man, the evil woman. Oh, God, you're protecting us from the weapons of warfare. Oh, God, we pray today, Lord God, that not only that you protect me, my family, but you protect all those that are out there in the vineyard that are carrying this word as a flame of fire from heaven to touch the sinner man. Oh, God, we ask today, Lord God, that you would touch this word that we are about to release. We released this word sometime last year or year before, when I seen it last night. And we're going to talk this morning, oh, God, as the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. We ask, Father God, that you allow the Holy Spirit to use my eyes, my ears, my lips, my tongue of clear, oh, God. Oh, Father, we ask, Lord, that you not allow us to speak out of our hearts that did not come from you, God. Let us let flesh die. We ask, oh, God, to help us to kill flesh this morning. Allow the Spirit to come alive fully in us and through us, oh, God. We ask, oh, God, that you use our tongue as a pen of a ready writer, oh, God, to write in the atmosphere on the hearts of the people all over the world that would hear this message today, Lord God, that they would consider their status, oh God, in you, oh God, and God, they would repent so they could become deeper, oh God, and more secure in you, God. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord God. We cast aside the weight and the sin that so easily beset us, oh God, and Lord, we come and look to you, the author and finisher of our faith this morning. God, bless us this morning to hear from heaven. Oh, God, as we open our ears to you, bless us, oh, God. Speak to us this morning. Speak to us and speak through us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. This morning, the word the Lord gave us on last night, we put in back in the computer. We have gotten this word before, but the Lord brought it back to us, to our spirit on last night. And the word that he has given us to teach and preach on today is there oil in your lamp? We got part two of the message that we did yesterday, that we're going to bring on tomorrow if the Lord say the same. But today we changed the message for today. Let us go to the book of Leviticus. Then we're going to go to the book of Matthew chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 24, we want to go there and see what the Lord our God is saying to us this morning. Because the Lord wants us to be ready. He wants us, you and I, us, the people of God, he wants his church to be ready when he returns. He don't want them to get ready when he coming. When he comes, he wants them to be ready. Hallelujah. To be ready, to be prepared. Dressed and ready to go back with him. Spiritually dressed, that's what he wants. This is what the Lord is asking for us to work on our spiritual being. Don't go to Macy's. Don't go to Nordstrom. Don't go to JCPenney. Don't go to all of these stores, Walmart, all them people. A K-Mark or whatever they got out there. Don't go to Costco. Don't go to all those places that sell those fancy clothes at cheap price and mark down or and then looking to get clothes to make yourself look so good on the outside. I mean, there's nothing wrong with dressing well and smelling well, but he said don't put your thoughts on those things of the world. We say, well, if we get the Lamborghini, the Ferrari, or the Mercedes-Benz, or the Lexus, or the Cadillac, or, you know, we get the finest cars and the best clothes that we think we have it going on. We get to live in the gated community, the best houses, the best homes. We think that we have it going on. God said, that's not it. He said, you have to make sure that you have oil in your lamp. He's talking about spiritual oil, not kerosene, not olive oil, not Crisco. Hallelujah, not Pamela oil, not, my God, sunflower oil, not avocado oil. He is talking about spiritual oil. The oil of heaven must be in your lap, in your spiritual lap, in your soul. In other words, he's talking about holiness. We have to have the holy oil inside of us that we are walking upright, we're living upright, we're doing the thing that please him. This is what God is calling for. Hallelujah, glory to God. Because if our lamps are not filled with this oil, when he comes, we will miss him. Hallelujah. what we are putting in will go out. It will not last. Hallelujah. We have to put in the oil of the Lord, the word of the Lord. My God, this is the oil that keeps our spirit burning, has us on fire. We'll be on fire if we are putting in this word of God in our hearts. This is the oil of God. If we are putting it in, we'll be on fire for God. It doesn't matter what's going on, who is doing this and who is doing what. It doesn't matter how the world is turned upside down, because the Bible proclaims and declares that all these things will happen. Everything that you're saying, you might be saying, well, why is God allowing all this stuff? God says that man will turn away from him. They will reject him. They will fall away from following him. They will go other places. You remember when Jesus was here, some of the disciples fall away. He had many disciples, not just 12, but some of them fall away. They fall away and went back to their own homes. They went back to their own neighborhoods, to doing their own thing, doing what made them feel good. And then he asked the one that he kept close to him, hallelujah, will you also leave me? He said, will you also leave me? Peter said, Lord, where shall we go? You're the only one. You have the way of life. You have the way of salvation. Where shall we go? You see, when we know that, we know inside of us that he is the truth, he is the way, the truth, and the life, we won't turn anywhere, as we know that we don't have no other place to go, because after this, my God, hallelujah, is either eternal death or eternal life with him. So we have to make up in our minds that we are going to keep this oil burning, keep it in our lives, that our spiritual life would burn bright and clear, that everybody can know without a doubt that we belong to him, that we are born again believers, that we live in the life that God has prepared for us at Calvary. See, the life is prepared for us at Calvary. He died so we can live. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's get into this word. What did I tell you? Leviticus chapter 24. Hallelujah. In the King James Version, he said, and the Lord spake, verse 1. We're only going to do about nine or ten verses here. He says, let me see what it says there. How far down we go down in this. We're going to do 9 verses here, and then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 25. He says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure olive oil, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. You see, what you are called to do, you have to have the oil that is pure. The pure oil has to be in your lamp. You can't put in anything that you want to put in. See, some folk want to say, well, I sing in the choir. I play the keyboard. I play the drums. I play the guitar. I play the saxophone, the trombone, whatever. I'm the lead minister. I'm the lead minstrel. I lead the choir. I lead the praise team. And that's good. But then after they finish leading and practicing and doing all the stuff that you would say glorify God, they go out and doing something else. They're putting in another oil in the lamp, and it causes contamination. The lamp, oh God, I hear you, Holy Spirit. The lamp does not burn properly because they have two different oils in the lamp. Hallelujah. They have some righteous oil, some pure oil, and then they have some contaminated oil in the lamp. Oil of gossiping, oil of lying, oil of cheating, oil of fornication, oil of adultery, hallelujah, oil of lesbianism, homosexualism, oil of stealing, cursing. All of these are different oils, spiritual oils that contaminate the lamp. The lamp is your soul. Hallelujah, glory to God. So he says, so Moses made sure that the people bring some pure olive oil, oil that has been beaten. You see, you got to. I know we used to grow olive trees in my country. My mama had them outside, and they would make these little olive, look like a little fruit. And if you bite it, it would be oily and bitter. But in order to get the oils to come out, you had to squeeze them. We would put them in a mortar, and we would use the mortar stone to pound them, and oil would come out. Then you can squeeze them in a cheesecloth, and the oil would come out. Pure olive oil without any contaminants. And this is what God wants us to bring to him. It got to come out of our soul pure oil has to be in our soul. If we don't have it in our soul, none can come out. Listen, listen, he said to Moses, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure olive oil beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Now watch this. When you have the word of God inside of you, inside of us, when we have it inside of us, we're going to always be lighted up. We're going to be excited about God's word. We're going to be excited about doing what God called us to do. We will not allow our brother or sister or anybody, husband or wife, to stop us from doing what God called us to do. Because why? Our lamp is burning. And when the lamp is burning, we are excited. When the lamp is dimming out, you're losing your excitement. You don't want to preach. You won't want to teach. You think we think we can do our own thing. We don't want to assemble. Because why? The lamp is dimming out. But when the lamp has got the pure olive oil, the pure gospel inside of us, the uncontamination, uncontaminated our word of God, the infallible truth of God, what happens? We are excited. We can't wait to visit with our brothers and sisters, and we are ready to proclaim the gospel. We are ready to share word. We are ready to testify. We are ready to glorify. We are ready to exalt God. Why? Because our life is burning bright. We're excited. We're like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're like Daniel. Hallelujah. We're not afraid to go to the lion's den because why? The lamp is burning bright and clear. We can see. We know where we're going. Let's see if we can get to these nine verses. Verse 3 says, without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continues. It shall be a statue forever in your generation. Now, this lamp is going to burn from morning to night to the next morning. This lamp doesn't go out. Your excitement for the Lord to do the Lord's will should never go out. I hear pastors say, well, I ain't going to preach no more. I'm retired from this stuff. They still got the good sense of direction. It's not like they got Alzheimer's. You got folk that say, well, I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm not going to church anymore. I'm retiring. I'm just going down to the Caribbean. I'm going to Hawaii, and I'm going to sit on the beach level and watch the water, and I'm going to drink some coconut water with a straw. I'm going to have some pina coladas. I'm going to enjoy my old age on the beach, watching the water, watching the sunset. They still have their sense of direction. It's not like they're going crazy, but they say they retire. You can't. What? How can you retire? Did Jesus retire? He preached and teaches this gospel on to his death. And even when he came back from the dead, he was still saying the same thing, giving his disciples, his followers, the one he's called by the Spirit, he was still giving them instructions on what to do after he left the earth, after he go back to his throne in glory. Hey, pastors, man, I was watching back in Virginia and Maryland. I know pastors would say, well, I've been preaching for 30 years, 40 years. I'm tired to give up. You ought to preach this thing till you die. Live it till you die. Hallelujah. So verse 4 says, he shall order the lamps upon the pure candlesticks before the Lord continually. In other words, Aaron, the priest, Moses' brother, had to set the lamps, arrange the lamps in a specific way. God wants the lamps to be placed in a specific way. Hallelujah. We have to live a specific way. This is our lamp. We have to live a certain way that glorifies God. Hallelujah. Not to suffice man or woman, not to make the choir feel good about us, not to make the usher or the deacons or the elders or the ministers in the church feel good about. It's good that they feel good about us, but it's not about them. We have to place our spiritual walk, our spiritual life in a way that pleases God. No, please God. Abraham, please God. They live a lifestyle, their lives were burning in a way that pleased God in the midst of all that was going on around them. This is what God is saying. Verse 5 says, and thou shalt take the fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deal shall be in one cake. And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. They have to make, they said, the 12 tribes of Israel. And they had to make 12 loaves or 12 cakes because each one represents the tribe, a tribe. But everything had to be pure. Notice that everything had to have a specific way of being done. Hallelujah. God requiring us and giving us instructions in how to live. What to do? How do you respond to people? Do you jump off as soon as you hear something or see something? No, you shouldn't. Why? Because you are not no longer led by the flesh. You are led by the Spirit, and the Spirit tells you when to speak and when not to speak. You don't have to talk to everybody. You don't have to jump off when somebody says something about you. Oh, somebody scratched your car. You don't have to act a fool. Somebody borrow your money, don't pay you back. You don't have to act a fool because you can't take any of that stuff with you. You got to leave that stuff behind when you leave. Hallelujah. If you see my truck, you say, wow, the truck goes up, look real nice outside. But if you look inside, I don't ever keep it like that. But I've been working so much, tools everywhere, tools and material everywhere. And I keep telling my honey, I got to go there and get clean that truck up. I got to straighten up and then I got to take the seats out because my granddaughter's graduating next week and my son and his wife and one of my other granddaughters are coming up from Virginia and then her girlfriends are going to be going. So we have to put a lot of people in the truck. The truck, we have about 8 people in the truck going to support her, you know, and be part of her graduation from college. And the truck will be clean. But here, he says, verse 7 says, he says, and thou shalt put pure frankincense. Everything has to be pure. This is what you got to understand, what we have to know about God. God don't want anything that's contaminated. If we feel like we've been dealing and living a lifestyle that's contaminated with this world system, we got to repent. Hallelujah. Even if you don't feel so, you ought to go before God. The first thing you ought to do is repent. Because our thoughts go every which way our thoughts go, not like God. We say things out of our mouth. You say, well, I don't care, I'm going to say what I want to say, but it offends God. It offends God. I remember when I was living an adulterous lifestyle, and I thought I was offending my wife at the time. And I want to get my life right. But then the Lord said that it wasn't, he told me it wasn't so much about your wife, but it's about me. When you commit adultery, you're committing adultery against me. You're supposed to be a servant. You got preachers that are doing it nonstop and don't realize that they're hurting God. He paid a price at Calvary for each and every one of us, and then we turn away and go right back into the sin, not suppose that he died to set us free from. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He says, thou shalt put your frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. See, when you bring your offering, you bring your tithe to the altar, it ought to be coming from a pure heart. I'm not just giving because I feel it. If I give, Somebody would say, well, you know, every time you look around, pastor, deacon, elder, evangelist, they're always giving to the orphans. They're always giving to the poor. I'm not looking for that. You're not doing it because you can get accolades. Somebody say, well, he's preaching the word every day. She's preaching it. No, you're not doing that for that. It's an offering unto the Lord when we come out here in the morning and we get on Blog Talk with it, church in the air, whatever, we go and we do what we got to do. It's unto the Lord. Not so somebody can say, well, you know, Pastor Bishop went over to Sister Lyon and they were preaching over there. No, not for that. We are doing this because it's unto the Lord. We are worshiping the Lord. Moses, God told Moses to make the garments for Aaron and his sons so they could come before him to minister to him first. See, what we are doing, we are ministering to God. That's why we are listening to the Holy Spirit to give us excellence, to give us, to tell us what to say that please God. And our hearts are right because we have repented. We have bring our hearts before the Lord and ask the Lord to clean our hearts so pureness will come out of our heart, purity. Hallelujah. He says, it'll be an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath, he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. You see, there's an agreement with the people of God, with the pastors, with the apostles, with the evangelists, with the pastor, the teacher, the prophet, all those that are in leadership made a covenant agreement with the congregational members for God. When the offering and the tithes come, it's coming for God. But then the priest uses it for God's people, to bless God's people. The priest takes some of the bread for his family, some of the wine for his family, but he gives the rest to the poor, the orphans, the widows. Understand this. You're seeing the book. Listen to me. Then it shall be Aaron and his sin on his sons. See that? And they shall eat it in the holy place. For it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord. See, now, the offerings are holy because it was given to the Lord. But the priest now and his sons, his family, will partake of it because it's holy unto the Lord. Made by fire, a perpetual status. Hallelujah, glory to God. Let's go over here. The same first chapter we're going to work for a little bit, and then we can go to chapter 5. Because I only have like 4 or 5 scriptures I want to give you this morning. Here in, and let's pull up some stuff out of the Logos Bible. Leviticus chapter 24 is a collection of religious laws with topics ranging from tabernacle procedures, verse 1 to 9. This is what we minister death now. To serious crimes like blasphemy. The chapter concludes with a clear declaration of the law commensurate retaliation in, known as the principle of an eye for an eye, or lex talions, Exodus chapter 21, verse 23 to 25, Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 21. This is Old Testament teaching, where if you had taken some person's hand, your hand will be taken all your life. Aaron shall arrange it outside the curtain of the lamp. It is to be placed directly outside the curtain that was the close off the Holy of Holies, or most holy place. In Exodus chapter 26, verse 31 and 35. Hallelujah. And see, there's a place in the sanctuary, in the temple, that you can't go, that I can't go, that the congregational members can't go. That's a place where only the priest, the head priest, and for God's presence to be. If the priest go in there and the priest was not right and he was not, had not sanctified himself, has not separated himself from the things of the world, he would die. And they would have to drag him out with the rope that was tied around his waist. The tassel will not ring. If the priest was right, he had like bells around the border of hem of his garment, of his robe. And you could tell that the priest was alive because every time he walked and he's ministering and praying, you could hear these little bells ringing all the time, tassels. If he went in there and he did not repent before the Lord, before he went in there, the Lord had taken his life. He would drop dead inside that place, and they would have to drag him out. The deacons and the elders would have to draw him out. Drag him out. They couldn't go in there because they would die too. But here he says that Aaron had to place the lamp. The lamp is to be placed directly outside of the curtain that was closed off the Holy of Holies, or most holy place. The Hebrew phrase used here, shekha olam, is a common refrain in biblical law used to emphasize the enduring nature of a decree and underscore the importance of continued observance in Leviticus chapter 16:34. Now, a similar practice of placing bread before a deity was common in the ancient Near East. The idea was that the gods needed to be served bread and wine for sustenance. The Deuteronomical story of Bel and the dragon reveals the reality that priests, not the deities themselves, were consuming the food. Daniel proves that the priest had been secretly entering the temple chamber and eating the food left before the statue of Baal. The practice outlined here of leaving the bread in Exodus chapter 25 and 30 before Yahweh belongs to this tradition, but departs from the significantly since the bread is explicitly designated as food for the priest, not Yahweh. Leviticus chapter 24:9. 12-ring shaped bread cakes refers to the bread of the presence. Exodus 25 and 30. The pure gold table. It refers to the table for the bread of the presence in the holy place. Exodus 25, verse 23 to 30. 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 48. 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 2. The table had 12 loaves of bread, probably symbolizing the 12 tribes of Israel. The loaves were displayed in two equal rows. They were not touched during the entire week until the Sabbath, when they were replaced with 12 freshly baked loaves. The old loaves were eaten by the priests in a sacred area, Leviticus chapter 24, verse 9. Because of the way the loaves were placed in two equal rows, the bread was also referred to as lechem, hama, arekef, the bread of rows. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 32. 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 29. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 33. In Numbers, it is called Lekim Hatamid, the regular bread, Numbers 4 and 7. These descriptive names are combined in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 4, where the shortbread is called Ma'arekef Temir, regular rose. The pure frankincense, a fragrance resin used as a perfume and as a spice. Leviticus worship includes a daily incense offerings. Exodus chapter 30, verse 7 to 10. Exodus 34. Exodus chapter 30, verse 7 to 10 and verse 34 and 35. The tabernacle was to be scented with aromatic spices. Exodus 30, verse 24 to 38. Frankincense was an ingredient in grain offerings. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 1. So it is unclear whether the frankincense here is pure, is poured over the loaves or burned as incense besides them. The command to arrange 7 loaves on every Sabbath likely means that fresh loaves were brought on the Sabbath and the loaves from the previous week were consumed. Since regular loaves have been hardened and spoiled after a week, unleavened bread was probably used for this purpose. The service explicitly says the loaves were unleavened bread. They shall eat it in a holy place, as seen in chapter 6, verse 16, chapter 8, verse 31, chapter 21, verse 22. This is all in Leviticus. Contained components of the sacrifices function as sustenance for the priesthood. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. Glory to God. In Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. And we're talking about, is there oil in your lamp? Only you know if there's oil in your lamp. Only you know this. Hallelujah. We have to examine ourselves. Look for ourselves. Look in our own heart and see if there really is oil in our lives. In other words, are we living holy? Are we doing the things that God called us to do? Hallelujah. Because if we're professing that we are who God said we are, but we're not doing, we don't have no oil. Our lamp is out. This is why folk are not coming to us. We're not reaching any souls for the kingdom. Hallelujah. The young lady was just arrested in Mississippi. Caucasian girl, 19 years old. We are living in the end times. 19 years old in Mississippi. A Caucasian white girl. Beautiful in silk. She could be a movie star. And she is having sex with her dog. I mean, she is pretty enough to go in there and find a man. If you want sex so bad, go give your booty away. Go sleep with some man. But she in the house in need of a man, playing with herself, masturbating, and then she has the dog licking on her, and then she actually has the dog penetrate her. And she had the audacity to post it on the internet, on TikTok, making money. People paying her. And she's getting money on TikTok. And the police officers of Mississippi broke down her door and arrested her for animal abuse. The Bible talks about bestiality. People in the last days, men and women, going to be having sexual intercourse with animals. You hear me? Going to be having intercourse with animals. We had one woman, a white lady, was on. I had to send a note to Facebook because somebody put it on my page. And she and her Rottweiler dog, very beautiful dog, she loves her dog more than she loves a human being. And she was masked, not what they call masked, but she was having sex with the dog. But she was giving the dog what we call a blowjob. And she was taking the picture, out of her phone, set up on camera, set up so it could be seen. Fancy, that's the devil. And then the dog moved away from her. She kept begging the dog to come back. She said, no, don't go. She is all horny, she called it. And she had let the dog penetrate her, and then the dog, you know, the dog, a dog, a male dog swells out. That's the way the God makes it. It swells out inside the female dog, and it don't come apart until he puts so much semen in the female dog so they can make all of these puppies. And she and the dog were stuck together for a long time. It was all on Facebook. This is the last past, the last days that we're living in, and we are simply in church. We don't want to pray. We don't want to fast. We don't want to testify. We don't want to glorify God. And men and women are going into animals, donkeys and horses and all this stuff. You have it on Facebook. Young girls, 14 and 15 years in India and different countries, are playing with the horses and the donkeys, masturbating. This is what's happening, people. This is it. He talks about the last, the oil. He said, then the kingdom of heaven may be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. You got some people that have a clear understanding of what it called to serve the Lord. And some think it's a game. It's a show that they're putting on because they can preach this place this week and preach that place next week and they get a check or they get an envelope with cash. Matthew chapter 5, continuing his discourse on the Mount of Olives, Jesus. Jesus tells another parable that underscores his call to be prepared for the Son of Man's arrival. Matthew 24, verse 44. Or you can read Matthew chapter 24, verse 3 to 44. Jesus said that some of the virgins were wise and some were foolish. For when the foolish ones took their lamps, they did not take olive oil with them. But the wise ones took olive oil in flasks with their lamps. And when the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. But in the middle of the night, there was a shout. Behold, the bridegroom coming out to meet him. Come out to meet him. The whole essence of, we have to make sure we have oil. Is there oil in your lamp? If you know that you know that you know that you have the word of God in your heart, but you have to have some extra word. Extra word. You got to have some extra word. Extra word represents extra oil. You see, the fire wise had the lamb still, but they also had extra oil. Because the lamb, no one know what hour, what time, what day that the bridegroom is going to come. He didn't say, well, I'm going to come at 3 o'clock. I'm going to come at 6. I'm going to come at 9. I'm going to come at 12. But he said he's coming. Jesus said he's coming like a thief in the night. How did the thief tell you when he's coming? No, he comes when you are sleeping, when you are not able to observe that he's in the house and take your stuff. The Bible says that the wise, olive oil with them, but the foolish ones didn't. When the bridegroom was delayed, he didn't come when they expected to him. See, you jumping and shouting for Jesus now, like he's going to come right away. But as I say, he delays, because many other mothers, many others will must get their last meal before he returns. But in the middle of the night there was a shout, behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins whose virgin woke up and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish ones said to the wise ones, give us some of your olive oil, because our lamps are going out. But the wise one answered, saying, certainly there will never be enough for us and for you. Go instead to those who sell olive oil and buy some for yourself. But while they had gone away to buy it, the bridegroom arrived, and those who were ready went inside with him to the wedding celebration. And the door was shut. And later the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he answered and said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore be on the alert, because you do not know the day or the hour. See, we have to be prepared. That alert means that you have to be ready. You have to be prepared. Your heart has to be ready. Your soul has to be sanctified, separated from the things of the world. Don't allow people to get you down and frustrate you so easily. Because if he comes when we are in that mindset of frustration and aggravated by people, we will miss him. The light will go out. You see what happened when the bridegroom that got the call, the wife was able to trim, take the scissors out of the knife and trim the wick and add oil to their lamps. They began praying and sanctifying and glorifying. They were doing everything so they could go on. The lamps were trimmed and their pathway would be clear to see.
Go to the bridegroom. But the foolish ones, they were not ready.
They didn't prepare themselves. Now they go out to get on. But when they return, the door was closed. Don't let the door be closed on us. We should not allow let the door be closed on us. We got to stay ready. Because the enemy is so smart, he's playing games. The enemy, he's activated everything in his, that's at his disposal to hinder us, to stop us. Listen, the virgins refer to young women who, I guess, at a wedding, possibly as attendants to the bride, to escort him to the wedding banquet. All 10 women are expecting the bridegroom, but only 5 are fully prepared. Married people are going to the house of the Lord. But all the people you see going into the house of the Lord are not prepared for his return. Remember we said, in order to live, you must die. Hallelujah. In order for us to get a full harvest, we must die first. We must die to this world so we can live for the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. We can't still have the worldly mindset and expect that we're going to heaven. No, we're not going. Something about us must change. In order for us to take on the characteristics of Jesus Christ, the lamp must be trimmed. And the lamp must be filled with fresh oil. We talked about bringing fresh loaves every Sabbath. For 7 days, we must have bread on the table, on the holy table. But on the Sabbath day, the bread must change. Must be new bread, a new offering, not the same old offering. Hallelujah. This is why we need to have extra oil. But the old oil is going to burn out. The old oil will burn out. And you must have oil ready to put in the lamp. Because when he does show up, you want to be able to see him as he is. Hallelujah, glory to God. So here, we're looking at five of them has oil, but the other five didn't have enough. The bridegroom arrives refers to the long-expected day of the Lord and the arrival of the Messiah at the end of the age, Jesus' second coming. Parousia, the Greek word parousia, for the second coming. A possible allusion to the messianic banquet at the end of the age when Jesus returns. We have to be ready. Folks say, well, I still got time. This is what the fool says. I still got time to get oil. I don't have to have the oil now. I don't have to pray. I don't have to fast. I don't have to study my word. Now I got time. I can have some fun in the world. I'm still young. I can still go to the club. I can still go to the after-hour joints. I can still go to the peep show. I can still masturbate. I can still sodomize my brother, my sister. I can still do all of these things that are contrary to God's law. I got time. And just before he comes, I can change my way. The door is shut. Isaiah chapter 22 and 22. Isaiah chapter 22 and 22. When the door is shut, no one can open it. Hallelujah. He says, and the key of the house of David, will I lay upon the his shoulder. So he shall open, and none shall shut. And he shall shut, and none shall open. We need to understand that when God closed the door, when Jesus closed the door, no one can open in. And when he opened the door, no one can close. Hallelujah. Revelation, Luke chapter 13 and verse 25. Luke chapter 13 and verse 25. See, this is why we got to be ready. Listen, Luke chapter 13, verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand with outside, to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. He shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you come. He said, I don't know where you come from. Do you hear that? This is the reason why we have to be ready. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, the book of Revelation chapter 3, and read verse 7 and 8. We're talking about, is there oil in your lamp? You can play at church as much as you want to, but if you don't have the goods, guess what happens? The door going to be closed before you. You can knock from now till he leave. You still ain't going to get in. Revelation chapter
3, verse 7 and 8. Listen to what he says.
And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write these things, says he that is holy, talk about Jesus, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not defiled my name. Do you hear? I got in my Bible, I have my name written right there, David. Hallelujah. You kept the word. That's the order. You kept the word of God and did not defile his name. You did not abuse his name. Do not know you. He tells you in the book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23. He do not know you. You've been running around preaching and teaching, prophesying or prophesying, however you want to say it, but you have no relationship with him. You have no relationship. We need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He says, and then when I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work of iniquity. Jesus says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Say, Jesus says it. If you have the oil of God in you, if the oil of God is in you, if the oil representing the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, the word of God is inside of our heart and our soul, we will do the will of God. In other words, we'll be ready and willing to do his will. We'll not allow people to frustrate us and stop us from uniting, from assembling together.
But then David says in Psalm 133, this is what he says.
Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Jesus says, many would say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Asking him a question. And in thy name, I saw devil. And in thy name, done mighty wonders, wonderful works. All of these questions they're asking him. Haven't we done all this thing, Lord, in your name? And he responded to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, the oil has to be pure. The oil that's in your lamp has to be pure. But Jesus is asking. So he says, Jesus repeated teaching that the disciples must always be ready. Hallelujah. Must always be ready. You cannot get
ready. You got to be ready. When he come here, there's no time to get ready. Are you hearing me today? Am I talking with you today? We have to be ready. Now, I talk to you from Leviticus chapter 24, verse 1 to 9, Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13, Exodus 26, verse 31 to 35, Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 to 18. You have to get a place, that you have to get to this place in your life that your lamp is filled, your lamp is running over. And not only that, you have to have extra oil. Man, I raised up in the Caribbean. We didn't have electric light when I was young. We got it after I got older. We had kerosene lamps all over. Every room had its own kerosene lamp. And there was times that my mom would have to take the lamp early in the morning. She would take the newspaper. She would wash the lamp with soap. Dishwashing detergent or dish detergent. So we didn't have no dishwasher. And then she would take newspaper and clean the chimney so it would be clear and it would free too. And she would take the scissors and she'd pour the oil out of the lamp because the bottom of the oil would get kind of like a flim down the dirt. Clean it out and she put fresh oil inside the lamp. What you would consider the reservoir of the lamp. And then she would take her scissors and she would trim the wick. Why did she trim the wick? Because when she lighted it again, that chimney would light up the whole house. That one lamp would light up the whole house. Because it's trimmed and fresh oil. Hallelujah. And Jesus is saying to us, he gave us back this last night. We did this last year. We want to keep our lamps trimmed. And we want to make sure we have some extra oil. Extra oil means that we are praying, we are fasting, we are seeking, and we are studying the word on a daily basis. We're not waiting till Sunday morning when I don't know what my pastor going to preach this Sunday. Last Sunday was so good. I can't wait till I get back. Ready? You better be in your word. You better be putting it in because you don't know when he's going to come. Remember, we told you back there in the book of Isaiah that he'll close those that no one can open, and he'll open those that no one can close. And we told you back there in the book of Revelation, he'll close those that no one can open, and he'll open those that no one can close. I'm telling you something. You have to be ready. You can't get ready. You got to be prepared. We just ready to you. Because the time that he is coming, nobody knows. Hallelujah, he's the bridegroom, we are the bride. And we have to be prepared for the bridegroom for when he comes, that we are ready to go. Oh, I gotta get my gown on. I gotta get my helmet of salvation together. I gotta put on the breastplate of righteousness. I have to have the shield of faith. I have to have my feet shod in the gospel of peace. I have to have the best of truth. No, you can't start doing that. No, you're too late. It's late. Hallelujah, glory to God. You see what he said in Matthew chapter 7? Folk will come and say that they did all of this in his name. They're going to ask him questions like he don't know. He knows all. He knows the end before the beginning. But you have pastors and bishops and apostles and evangelists and prophets and prophets. You're going to be asking him stuff like this, like they said here in Matthew chapter 7. He said, Lord, how we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. This is a question that they asked God, that they will ask him when he comes. Because why? Their lamps are dried. The lamps don't have any oil in it. They're professing Jesus, but they don't have the anointing. They don't have holiness in their heart. Their hearts are not pure. Remember what we told you in Leviticus. Everything that they brought to the table has to be pure. The flour, the oil, everything has to be pure. And it has to be placed in a certain way, a specific way. God requires that the lamps have to be set a certain way, which means that we, the body of Christ, the bridegroom, must live a certain way. We are the last samples. We have the all in us. We have to live a certain way. We can't profess that we know Jesus, that we are born again, that we're going to heaven, but we're not living to go to heaven. Because you preach and teach the gospel. Because you know from Genesis to Revelation. But we don't live none of it. I told you before that I drive with my wife and we go to a place that we don't really know the place, but I think I know the place. And I got one of the best GPS in my Cadillac. It will put you right on the spot that you need to be. And I said, well, he said, why don't you put the address in the address? I said, honey, I know where we're going. And we are at least driving away from where we're supposed to be. And then I have to unload my seven, so let me just pull over here.
Now I'm putting the GPS.
The moment I put it in the GPS, I can get to the house right away. And there's a lot of preaching and living. They're preaching and teaching the gospel, but they're not living it. And Jesus said, no, man, the gift of God is without repentance. And let me tell you something, Lana, the word of God is not going to return void. It's still going to do what it's supposed to do with some of these preachers. A lot of preachers are not living holy. He said, where's people getting saved? Where's people being healed? Because of God's word. It's God anointing that's doing the word. People that coming to the cross, but the pastor's not going to the cross. The pastor, the bishop, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, they think that they got it together because they know the word. But they're not living the word. The word is like a plant. You have to feed it. The nourishment that it needs to grow. Your soul needs a feeding. The all that you need is the word of God. Then you have to live it. Once you get it, now you got to put it in action. There's the faith without works is dead. You say you got a lot of faith but no works. You got works and no faith. They got to go hand in hand. Telling the truth. You can have the spirit and you have no truth. You don't have nothing. They have to have spirit and truth. You have to have word and action. You don't want to do it. You say you love the Lord, but you don't love your brother or sister. Who are you fooling? Who are we fooling? We can't forgive anybody but we said, God forgive me. We want God to forgive us. We can't forgive our brothers or sisters. We have no compassion. We have no mercy. Have no grace. Some folks talk more about the devil than they talk about Jesus. I don't have time to think about the devil. I'm so busy where I'm concentrating. I want God to fill me so much. I want my fire to burn bright and clear. Like my mama, she said, boy, I got to trim this. I got to clean these. Sometimes she goes, you got to clean this. And I didn't like the smell of kerosene on my hand. You got to empty out the lamp. You got to empty out it. You got to clean down in there. And just give me an old sock or old dress you tear off of. Old dress that you don't wear to your piece of cloth. But take a stick and put it down inside the lamp and make sure you clean it out before you put the new oil in. We need to repent. You wonder why the oil is not staying in us. Because we are heavy loaded. We're heavy burdened. He said, come on to me, all you that live and heavy laden. Heavy laden. And I will give you rest. We can't run a lot of weight on us that need to be on Jesus' shoulders. We need to free up ourselves. Can't wait because Jesus coming to all. I got to get rid of him. I got to get rid of those thoughts now. I got to get rid of those thoughts. Listen. He said, the bridegroom going to take some time. He's taking time. It's the second coming before he returns. Five wise and five foolish. The five wise had their lamps filled, and they also had extra oil. Because they weren't sure how long it's going to take before the bridegroom returns. We have to stay prepared. We don't know when he's going to come. He said, well, I can go down to the club tonight. And I can go to the Mardi Gras. I can go to Carnival, and I can shake my stuff, and I can flirt and all that stuff. Because God taking a while before he comes. And that's the hour he might say. I'm going down to Sister Susie's house, and we going to do the dirties tonight. But she's fine. And I know she's been checking me out. So now I'm going to let her know that I've been checking her out also. I want some of that stuff. I want some of that milk. I want some of that honey she got. And here he shows up. And now you want to run talking about you repenting, you're sorry. It's too late. Too late because we're not living a repentant life. We're not living a holy life. The priest that went in had to rope around his waist. And he had to make sure that he was right with God. He repented before he went in there, long time before he go into the Holy of Holies. And he was the only one that was acceptable in the Holy of Holies. And if he was not right, the tassels, the bells around the border of his robe would not ring. Because every time he walked, covered in that Holy of Holies, the bells would be ringing. And all the other people outside, the other assistant priests, you would call them elders or deacons or what you want to call them, Levites. They will be outside in the sanctuary, and one of them will be holding, sometimes all of them holding onto that string. And if you didn't hear them bells ringing, they knew that God had taken their priest away. And they couldn't go in there to lift them up. They had to drag him up, because if they go into the Holy of Holies, their lives will be taken. So the priest had to go and pray and fast and pray. And I know his head, his own head, asked God to free him up from sin before he step up them steps to go into that holy place. You have people today. Thank God for mercy and grace. I know we take the grace and mercy that he gives us lightly. Because if he wasn't a God of mercy and grace, many of us, you, I, me, we will be dead. How many times we have fornicated, committed adultery, and went to church, and we knew we had to preach. But we slept with that man, slept with that sister, and we went to church the next morning and went in and preached on that altar without even repenting. Nobody in the church knows that you are just fornicated, just committed adultery, just lying, just cheating, just, acting out in sin. But went up there and still preached anyway, because you knew how to parallel the scriptures. You know how to emphasize, how to deliver the message. You put it together. You have studied for 3 days, 4 days, because you knew you was going to preach on that revival, that convocation. Now, by God, you know you was going to preach, oh God, for that ordination service. But you haven't changed the oil. You haven't cleaned the lamp. You haven't trimmed the wick. And you went in there. And the only reason you're still standing is because of his grace and his mercy. He did not give us what we deserved that morning, that night time. But he gave us what we need. He still gave us life. And here he says, I do not know you. Jesus repeated teaching that the disciples must always be ready. If we are going to serve him, go to Matthew 24. Jesus, have mercy on this world. I'm talking about this morning the Lord gave us. Is there oil in your lamp? Matthew 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think the Son of Man cometh. Hallelujah, glory to God. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over the household, to give them meat in due season? Who then He said, blessed is the servant whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find them doing. Is the oil in your life? Because if there's oil in your life, you're going to be doing. You're going to be doing what the Lord commissioned you to do. And not how you want to do it, but how he wants to do it. How he wants you to do it. Because it's his will that must be done through us.
Matthew 24, go back up to verse 36.
But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only.
Verse 50.
The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of.
Listen, listen, listen.
And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus is talking about servants here that not doing the Father's will. Compromising the will of the Father. Hallelujah. When we put contaminant oil, contaminated oil, with pure oil, we contaminate the good oil. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why my mama had us clean the lot and make sure we got all of that black stuff from in the bottom of the lot. And the reason why she trimmed the wick, because once you get all of that burn wick off, the wick now will burn beautiful. The light will be clear in the house. Hallelujah. It's like even though we have light bulbs. And if you got a light bulb, it picks up the dust from the furnace. And if it gets too much dust, you realize the light is not bright enough. You say, well, something was going on wrong. And you take a piece of rag or something, or a towel, a washcloth, and you wipe off that bulb and put it back in. You notice that the light is brighter. Why? It's the same way with our hearts, our souls. When we truly repent and return from our wicked ways, he begins to pour new stuff in. We become candidates to receive the fresh oil. Hallelujah. He said, I would hear from heaven, I will forgive your sin and heal your land. What land are you thinking about? Not only is you the land. We are the land that he wants to heal. But we first must repent, and we got to turn from wicked ways, from doing the stuff that's contaminating the oil, the special oil, who we are. Hallelujah in him. He says, Matthew 25, and let's go to 6, verse 6. We did this whole stuff already. He says, and at midnight was it, I may. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. They say there's going to be a cry. And this is what we're living for. We want to hear the sound that he's coming. The clouds are open. The angels are coming. He's riding on the winds of the clouds. We want to hear the sound of the trumpet and the shout of the angels, and that we want to be prepared, that because we want him to receive us. We don't want him to leave us behind. And it's time to trim your wick. It's time to check your oil, your life, your spiritual life, your soul, and see if your soul is right. If your soul has the right oil, you'll be on fire for God. You'll find time. You'll make time for God. I was chatting with Apostle Washington, because I don't do a lot of phone calling. Texting with her yesterday, because I need her daughter. There was a travel agency to book a flight for me for Barbados. I want to be in Barbados for 2 weeks in June. I want to spend some time with my sister. She's getting old. And I want to spend some time. I don't know either which one of us are going to go home first. She's a born-again believer. Love the Lord. But at least I want to spend some time with him, you know. And I let her know, Apostle and Washington, Bishop, I love them with an unending love. I don't tell too much people that I love them. I love all of God's children, but I don't tell too much people that I love them. Because some people take that word love for granted. And then they want to use it, some people want to use it as an intimate thing, but it's not an intimate love. I have a heavenly love for them. They're special to me. Regardless if they're on Blog Talk Radio or not, I'll always love them. Always love Bishop and Apostle Walker. Why? Because God told me that in my heart. He says, this is your sister, this is your brother. You have to know that you got the right order. Don't fake it out because you want something from somebody. God has gifted me with one of the greatest talents. I'm not a musician. I can play a little bit of music on the keyboard, but I'm not a lot. But he gave me a gift of plumbing, heating, and air conditioning. I can do a lot of electrical work. I can wear the whole house. I haven't did it at an Emblem school, but God give me the talent. And he allowed me to be healthy so I can make money. I don't want to depend on nobody. I depend on God, on him. And when I go out, I ask God to give me the wisdom, the knowledge, the insight for what have I got to do. I see it fast and fix it well and come back. I had to shut down yesterday because I got an emergency call. For a job that I would work on, and an old furnace about 57 years old, and I rebuilt it. Didn't have no heat. And what happened is they had a back drive through the chimney, and they blew the pilot. So I had to go over there and light the pilot. Time was all screwed up yesterday. But God is saying for us, examine ourselves. Because then the bridegroom comes. You see, you got to be able to see and hear spiritually. So you need spiritual oil to give you spiritual vision and spiritual hearing. Do you hear me? It's not kerosene from the gas station. It's not olive oil from the Christian bookstore. You have to have that spiritual oil from heaven. So you have to spend time with the one, the source that have the oil that you need, the spiritual oil. You have to spend quality time with him. Don't go in there begging for stuff that make you look good here on earth. You got now 5-bedroom house, 3.5 baths, 4-car garage, 2 swimming pool. You look good for the neighbors, for the Jeffersons.
Joneses, you look good for them.
What about God? Is your lamp right before God? Do you have the right oil in your lamp? Is the oil in your lamp contaminated? You have to ask yourself, is my oil compromised? Because you know what would compromise the oil? The things of the world. The attributes of the world would contaminate the oil. I won't spend time with a lot of people. I don't. I won't spend time. Because some people come to, you know, sister so-and-so. You know, brother so-and-so. I ain't got time for that. I don't have time for that. I got a couple of pastors in Ghana. One here right now from Ghana. He's in Pennsylvania, which is almost 4 hours from me. I'm not driving all the way there, thank you, man. But he sent me a message day before yesterday. Have you made ready to come to Ghana? Have you made ready to come to Ghana? Because we want to set up, talk to pastors in different churches so that when you come to Ghana, you can preach at all these churches. That's the way the Lord released me. I told him that's right. I said, when the Lord released me to come to Ghana, I will come to Ghana. Cause I can go anytime I want to. You know.
I have a Barbados passport and I got an American passport.
So when I go to Ghana, I don't have to get a visa because I was born in Barbados. And we're considered
under the African
nation. We are brothers and sisters. And we belong to Africa. So here in the book of Revelation chapter 1, we're going to read the scripture. You know, we paraphrased it before. And we're going to get over here. Revelation chapter 1 and verse chapter 18. Listen to Jesus speaking. In
let's start at verse 11.
Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last.
What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden sticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with garments down to the foot, and girded about the paps,
this is 10,
with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as fire, a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burnt in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Lord Jesus, have mercy. And he said, he had in his right hand, seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and said unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. That's Jesus speaking. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Jesus says he was dead and alive forevermore. He has the keys of hell and death. He told John to write these things. It's important that you know that you're not serving a dead God. And the churches must know that Jesus is alive. It doesn't matter what's going on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We must rise up. We must rise up, and we must become who God said we are. Christ is present among his church. He is in the midst of the seven candlesticks. I want you to know that. The golden candlestick stood in the holy place of the tabernacle and the temple. Zechariah also had a vision of the golden lampstand. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 2. Ezekiel 25 verse 31 to 37. 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 49. I want to talk about these candles. Lampstand, golden lampstand. Here in this word of God,
Jesus
give to the angel
who represents God himself
instructions to give to
the church. We got the instructions. We are the church. But we are not activating the instructions. It's like you have a blueprint. We call it basic instructions before leaving earth. But we're not falling. This revelation may be understood as being of Jesus or from Jesus, The first man means that Jesus is the content of the revelation, or that he is the revealer of the hidden realities being disclosed in this book. The title Jesus Christ or Jesus the Messiah occurs only in the first five verses, but nowhere else in the book. The Greek word zoulos can be translated as slave or servant. However, the translation slave is fitting because it describes a person's total commitment and devotion to Jesus
or another such person or thing. Slaves
take place in a short time. The events of the book are spoken as a imminent
New Testament writers often speak of end time events as beginning in their own days.
Romans chapter 16 verse 20,
Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2, 1 Peter chapter 4 and 7. God's final victory over evil and the establishment of his kingdom will be completed in the future, but they have also been brought into the present through the death and resurrection of Jesus. The first of seven Beatitudes in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, Revelation chapter 16, verse 15, Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, Revelation 22 and 7, and reminiscent of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 to 11.
Many people in the first century were
illiterate and receive instruction by having it read to them.
In many words, most of the elders
back
in his time
past could not read, but they could hear.
The blessing is brought about through obedience and
adherence to the revelation. We are not just hearers of the word, but we are doers of the word.
The seven churches of Israel, he said, write these seven churches. While these seven churches were not the only ones in Asia,
a western region in modern Turkey,
modern-day Turkey, they were influential and located on a well-known circular route. The number seven often denotes fullness or completion in the Old Testament.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 2.
Leviticus 26, verse 18.
Joshua chapter 6, verse 4.
John uses the number in this way throughout Revelation.
Most notably in the judgment sequence. Seven bowls, seven trumpets, the seven churches would have been understood as representing all the churches of Asia and perhaps the entire worldwide church.
Seven spirits possibly alludes to the sevenfold
spirit of God in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2.
The number seven indicates the fullness of the Holy Spirit work. Revelation chapter 3 verse 1, Revelation chapter 4 verse 5, Revelation chapter 5 verse 6. It refers to Jesus who testifies faithfully unto death.
Faithful witness. John chapter 1, verse 18. John chapter 18, verse 37. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse.
The first fall from the dead describes the inaugurator of resurrection life. Colossians chapter 1 and 15. The ruler of the kings of the earth. Reminiscent of Daniel chapter 2 verse 47, Revelation chapter 17 verse 14, and Revelation chapter 19 verse 16. By his blood, Jesus freed us from our sins through the shedding of his blood at the crucifixion. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 7, Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22, Isaiah 53
verse 10 to 12. In Christ, God has done for the church what he had earlier done for Israel. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 to 6. The Greek word used here meaning, let it be so, amen. Amen is a Greek word used meaning, let it be so. Serve to strongly affirm something just stated. It expresses an indication of trust in God's ability to bring about a desired result. Verse 7, coming with the clouds. John implies the imagery of the Son of Man from Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 to Jesus. Cloud imagery also recalls the manner in which Jesus left the earth, Acts chapter 1 and 9. The same way that he left this world is the same way he's coming back. I want you to know this. He's coming back in the clouds. And Jesus is requiring you and I, us, to prepare ourselves for his return. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the word that you have allowed us to, O God, to indulge in, to come in and hear from heaven. Father, we ask that you continue to speak to us because we are hungry and we are thirsty. We are thirsty for your word that makes us rich. Your word is life to our soul. Oh, my Father, my Savior, my Redeemer, and my soon-coming King, I ask you, Lord, to continue to feed us. Lord, we are hungry and we are thirsty. Give us more, Lord. Lord, give us more. The more you give us, the more we will eat and we will drink, oh God. We pray, Father God, for those that came on and heard this word, that they would receive it and that they would activate it, oh God. Lord, because we know that it wouldn't work for us until we activate it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We believe that faith without works is dead. So, God, we hear it, we believe it, and we will.
We are given life.
We will activate this life source in our daily walk.
We thank you for speaking to us and for speaking to your children all over the world. As we know that there are many that are listening by satellite system, even as we come on this here, Blog Talk Radio,
come on to your radio,
to hear your voice by the Spirit. Now, Father, there's many, millions, if not trillions, in the world that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And there's many that profess him, but does not follow the instructions of the book.
We ask you, Father God, to forgive them. And God, we ask that you touch them
and allow them to hear your voice and to move according to your word. For your word says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that you raise your son from the dead, that we would be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believe in him shall not be ashamed. In John 3:16, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not be, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It says that, for God sent not his Son into the world, condemned the world, but that the world through him may be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loveth darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, heedeth the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In the book of Acts, Peter says to everyone, he says, to everyone, Peter said, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is a blessed gift. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord, excuse me, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in their sports of doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verses 10, be it known unto you all that, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. He is the truth, and he is the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible also said that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, understand this. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You see, you got to get a gift. You get to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's a free gift for us, for everyone that called upon him, but it's not free to Christ. He gave his life. The Bible says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Even this day, Jesus is knocking at each and every one of your hearts today, out there in computer land. If you don't know him, if you would call upon him, if you would open the door to your heart and you would let him in, he would come into your heart and he would sup with you. He would spend time with you, letting you know how much he loves you. This is what the God of all salvation would do for each and every one of us. This is what he does. He comes in and allows us to know that he is the Savior. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, take the time and now denounce Satan as the one who is controlled. Because before we knew Jesus, we were in darkness, and Satan was controlling us, even though you may not believe that, but he was controlling each and every one of us. He had control over all moves. He tells us, you know, you get that thing in your spirit, I'm going to go get high. I'm going to go sell dope. I'm going to go buy dope. I'm going to go buy alcohol. That's Satan. He wants you to do the things that don't glorify God. That's what he does. And when you find yourself doing the things that is of God, that's the Spirit of God that is directing you. So if you don't know him, this day, the Lord Jesus, I heard the word, and I believe what the man that was talking said. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins.
that you were crucified and that you died on that cross. You were crowned with thorns. You were nailed in your feet, in your hands, and your body was scarred and torn apart from my sin. Blood came out your side where you were pierced in your side, and water came out to wash my sins away, to wash me and make me clean. Oh, Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system. Jesus, I'm coming to you this morning with great expectation, a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that the thing that's blocking my life and hindering you from coming is sin. So today, I denounce everything that's sinful in my life. And, Lord, I repent this morning. I'm repenting of the sin, God. In other words, I'm turning away from a sinful lifestyle. And I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to come on in and live in my heart today. Take up control of my heart. Take up your rightful place in my heart. Forgive me of my sins, O God. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, according to First John 1:9, God. God, make me right again. Clean my mind, clean my heart, clean my soul, O God. God, make me holy, Lord. Make me righteous in your sight, O God. I pray today in the name of Jesus, as you receive this gift of salvation by faith. Hallelujah. It's all by faith, O God. Receive it by faith. Say, I receive you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on a hill called Calvary for my sin. Set me free, giving me the right to the tree of life. If you just say that and you believe it in your heart, oh, my God, you have just received the gift of salvation. But now Paul said you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That means that you have to work on living holy. This is how you work out your own salvation. You study the Bible. Study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Then you can go back to the book of Genesis and come all the way down to the book of Revelation. But invite the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto death. Philippians 3:10. Paul said he wanted to know him. He said he wanted to know him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you want to study the word of God, that you will know who this God is that you have given your life to. You'll know all about him because everything about him is in the book. Hallelujah, glory to God. And then you want to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize in the mighty name of Jesus and tell him, look, I received the gift of salvation, but I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And when you give your life, you're giving your life to him. It comes in your heart and he stays in there. Hallelujah. Stays in your heart to direct you, to lead you and guide you into all truth. And I tell you the truth, that before you get baptized, call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize, and tell them that you receive the gift of salvation, that you fill with the Holy Ghost. By now, you already talk, speaking in tongues, because the Holy Ghost is there, and he begins to speak through you. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Why? Because this is the greatest day of your life. This is going to be, whatever day you baptize, is going to be your new birthday. Hallelujah. Do you give your life to Christ and that my Lord Jesus? Hallelujah, glory to God. And you baptize in Jesus. Then you're going down in the liquid grave and you're leaving everything, my God, that you were trying to hold on to, the thoughts of this world. Oh, God, the craving for this world, you're leaving that water. You no longer craving it, going to be craving the things because God now is going to be your director. He's going to be your lead. And then when you come up with that water, you're coming up in the righteousness of who God said you are in Christ Jesus. Find a church that is preaching and teaching the gospel and then get yourself involved in ministry. I thank God for those that received the gift of salvation today, those that receive later. And we pray that God continue to strengthen you all. God continue to keep you safe. God heal your body, heal your mind, heal your spirit, heal, oh God, every pain in your body. That God heal it today so that you can walk in healing. You can walk in restoration. You can walk in who God said you are. Mighty God, I just praise God for each and every one of you all today. I thank God for all you all that came on. Prophetess Cheryl, Minister Jones, Brother Deacon Fraser, we thank God for you all coming on today. And Lord, we just pray that God continue to bless you all and keep you all safe and secure. I'm going to get over here because I know the people don't say anything anymore. And we thank God for Apostle Washington, Apostle Bishop Washington. Thank God for Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart, Evangelist Campbell. I'd have her come on Friday night. Glory to God. It's Saturday morning. I'd have her come on. And we just thanking God. Thank God for Minister Andish. She's out there doing her schoolwork and trying to do things in the church. We pray God keep her. We're still going on. In spite of who is not here and who here, we're still going on. Why? Because the Lord is our keeper. He is our God. And we just thank God. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We ask you to bless us in the city, bless us in the field. Bless us when we come and bless us when we go. We ask, God, that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath. That, Father, you make us the lenders and not the borrowers. And, Father, we are praying today, even as Sister Tina said, the money is coming soon. She said we should know something by Thursday or Friday. I pray that God would open that door, that that money will be released, oh God, this week, not next week, but Friday or Thursday or Friday, that we will know we can call the bank and make an appointment. Lord, I just pray right now that so many people we want to help, the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, the orphans, and, oh God, we are praying to help people, to buy homes for people, help people to get their own church building to go and call people from darkness to the light, from God. And, Father, as we leave this line, but never your presence, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. May the Lord continue to bless you all. May he continue to keep you safe and secure. As Jesus says, let your light shine, that men will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. So God to help you to walk in righteousness. Ask him. He know how to do what only he can do. Let him help you to walk in righteousness and that you will glorify him. Okay, we just thank God for you all. And we appreciate you coming on and hearing the word of God. But don't just be hearers of word. Be doers of the word. So take this word, activate it in your life. I put a lot of scriptures in there from the Logos and from the Amplified, from the King James Version, from the Living Translation. I put a lot of scriptures in there. Probably a lot of scriptures from the King James Version. Go back and listen to the word of God and activate it. Teach it the word. Let the Lord speak through you all. God bless you all. Have the blessed day today. I'm looking forward to seeing you all on tomorrow. The Lord say the same. We pray that we don't get a call to go to work, that we're able to bring another message on tomorrow and give God glory and praise. God bless you all. Have a blessed day, a safe day. And we will see you all on tomorrow if the Lord say the same. Bye-bye.